Open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 7 through 22. Hebrew James Peter. All right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for your great goodness. And as we sung, Lord, we ask that you would come and meet us here. Open our hearts to your word. And Lord, more than that, just give us not more than just knowledge, but Lord, give us wisdom and understanding how to apply your words to our lives. I pray, God, that our hearts will be sharpened today in light of the last times, in light of the end times. I pray, Lord, that we would prioritize our lives around these things that you have for us this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, all right. Everybody awake? Okay, well, I'm awake. So you better wake up. Well, last weekend, Nathan taught us about the living dead. And we learned the importance of the new life God has given us, that we no longer live after our own desires, but we live after the desires of God. We are to be dead to ourselves, but alive to Christ. And he made four important points to live like we're dead. And we first learned to live like we're dead, we must have the mind of Christ, to think his thoughts after him. To change our whole way of thinking. Because in this world, we're constantly being bombarded by different philosophies that's not agreeable with Jesus. And we also learned to live like we're dead is to live a changed life. That's living proof that God got a hold of our hearts and minds, is that we changed by the way we live. And also to know that a good example catches the eye. Everybody likes a good example. And we try to do that to the most part, because none of us are perfect, but a good example really catches the eye. And finally, he made the fourth point, realize God will judge the living and the dead. God will eventually judge all. But how does he want to judge us now in this life? Through the cross of Jesus Christ. He wants to give us that favor. And well, in light of last week's message, Peter's going to remind us of some important priorities to remember with our walk with Jesus. And his reminder is based on the fact that we are living in the end times. So let me ask you a question. What comes to mind when you hear the phrase, the end times, the last days? What comes to mind? Say that again. The end of school, the finality, no more tests. Believe me, I can relate to that. I had a really hard semester this semester, and oh boy, my last day of school, it was hallelujah. It was awesome. But what else comes to your mind in light of the Bible? Ian? Things falling out of the sky. Robert? Say that again. Last day of summer vacation. Well, we're talking about things that regard to the Bible. Anybody over here? Marissa? The rapture, you know, some people think of the apocalyptic things falling out of the sky, you know, God pouring out his judgment. And that's all true. You know, the judgment coming, the Antichrist coming into power. And today's news is a certain reminder of these things, isn't it? When you see things happening in Israel, that is a reminder that God's prophetic calendar, his clock is still ticking, tick, tick, tick. And when you see the nations gathering around Israel to fight her, you know things are very near. And we see that happening in the news. We hear about the terrorist group who wants to annihilate Israel off the face of the earth. You have a leader of a nation of Iran saying, we want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. The prophetic clock is ticking. I heard something very interesting this week. I heard it on Jay Sekulow Live, and then I heard an interview with, I think he's the Prime Minister of Israel, that the reason why the Iranians are so nutty right now is because in the Quran, they have their own end time scenario. And they believe that they call the 12th Inman, the 12th like teacher, is going to appear and he's going to declare jihad or holy war on the whole earth. And the goal is to, by force, make everybody a Muslim. And, you know, and of course, our press and our intellectuals dismiss all that. They think it's just our foreign policy, but it's deeper than that. And so we live in these times. We're seeing these events in the news being put into the place. But as Christians, as believers, what are we supposed to do? Get scared? I remember when I used to hear this stuff, boom, boom, my heart used to be scared. I was fearful. I was afraid I'd be left behind. But what are we to do? And Peter's going to give us some important priorities to use in the last day. And I'll give them to you, and then we'll talk about it. Be watching and praying. You can write that down, by the way. Take notes. Things that you write through your hand, go through your brain, and hopefully, God willing, through your heart. Be loving and caring. Be giving, encouraging, and worshiping. And so let's read verse 7 together. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, let's look at the first part, our first priority, and it's a priority for all generations. But the end of all things is at hand. And, you know, and we may think, well, Peter wrote this about 2,000 years ago, didn't he? Well, yeah, he sure did. Well, the end didn't come. How come the Lord is slack in keeping his promises? Why is God so slow? Any ideas? Marissa. Yeah, God wants to save people. He's merciful. He's slow to anger. He's slow. Sometimes we take God's slowness as that he doesn't care. Or sometimes we take God's slowness like some people say, well, see, that proves God doesn't exist. No, God is slow to anger because he desires that nobody should perish. And so, but you know what? We are closer to seeing the end than when we first started this study. 2 minutes ago, we were further from the end. Now we're closer. See, guys, there's something to remember. Our life is nothing but a vapor. Now, you guys know what a vapor is. Have you ever watched a cloud in the sky? And you see this lone cloud. Try it sometime, and you see it kind of swirling in the air. And pretty soon, it dissipates. It's gone. The little water molecules spread out through the atmosphere, and it's no longer clumped together as one big giant cloud. It's a vapor. Our lives are like that. It only seemed like not too long ago I was in my 20s, and now it's 20 years later. It goes by fast. I've been teaching here for, oh goodness, it'll be 10 years, 9 years. And I've seen kids your age not see high school. They passed on. Nobody's guaranteed what we consider a long life, because in view of eternity, our lives are short. And what are you going to do with your life? The end is at hand. What are you going to do with your life? Well, first thing that Peter gives us, he tells us to be serious. Well, I'm a guy who loves a good time. I love having fun. Does it mean that I become real stoic and you can't have fun? I don't think that's what Peter means. He says, be serious how you live your life. Be serious how you behave. Be serious about your priorities in life. You're going to heaven. The end is at hand. People are dying and going to hell. How are you going to live your life? You know, we can live our life as, well, now I'm really dating myself. And when this happened, it was like when I was young and they were old. You know, that song, que sera, sera, whatever be, will be. No, Jesus doesn't want us to live our lives like that. He wants us to be focused in our priorities, focused in why we're here. Because God has given each and every one of you a purpose and plan in life. Ask God to unfold it. Ask God to reveal it to you. And, you know, it may seem very everyday and mundane, you know. I mean, some of us are married and we have kids and we got to pay the bills. And, you know, you go through this, oh, my parents did that before me and their parents did that for me. What's so different, you know? But our focus is why we do it, to glorify Jesus. And so the second, another priority in this and being watching and praying is be watchful and prayerful. If you were to read the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and Pastor Skip is teaching Matthew 24, Jesus makes this point very clear. He makes this point very important that we are to be watchful and prayerful. I'll read you a passage in Luke. You don't have to turn there. But here Jesus gives the whole end time events in a nutshell to the disciples. He says, well, you know, every stone will off the temple will be tumbled and the sky will be blackened. The stars will fall and you will be persecuted. There'll be tribulation like there never has been before. And then he finally ends it. And he says, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. We get so focused about the now. You know, we want to be one of those Budweiser people, you know. We want to be a Budweiser chick and I want to be a Budweiser guy. And we're going to go to the beach and party, you know. And we got caught up in that stuff and it's all superficial. And here, life is coming to an end and you're unaware of it. That's not unusual. That happened in the times of Noah. He said, that day comes unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare to those who dwell on the face of the earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Be watchful and prayerful. That is our priority. That is our priority, one. Be watching and praying. He said, wait, look for the signs of the times. Guys, we are living in the last days. The most miraculous things have come to pass in the past 2,000 years. A little over 50 years ago, Israel became a nation for the first time in over 2,000 years. God said it would happen. Did you know that believers 100 years ago didn't understand this? They thought the church was Israel. God meant it literally. There will be another nation. And so be watchful and prayerful. And so what does it mean to be watchful? Being watchful is being a faithful servant. You're living in the light of, you know, the Lord watches me, He loves me, He cares for me, and I want to be faithful to the things that He has called me to do. He doesn't want us to be lazy people. He wants us to be busy serving Him. Yes. Okay. God bless you. Was it something I said? No, just kidding. And so be watchful in these things. And so what does it mean to be prayerful? Or let's go back to watchful. Being watchful is living as a faithful servant during the work of God. It is allowing Christ to live in and through us. Are you allowing Jesus to live through you? Just as Nathan taught us last week, are we the living dead? Are we allowing Christ to live? And also, what does it mean to be prayerful? What does it mean? Is it a rote thing? You know, it's a habit. You know, Muslims pray like 5 times a day. Do you pray 5 times a day? God tells us to pray unceasingly. Well, what does that mean, to pray unceasingly? Does that mean you're going to have to be on your knees all the time? No, that's living with the awareness of God in your life. Awareness. It's like getting up in the morning and you say, Lord, you acknowledge God. God, you're there. Lord, we have this relationship with one another. It's like you're always on your cell phone with God. You're always talking to God in your heart, in your mind. You're aware that He's there. Being watchful and prayerful. Lord, this event happened. Why? Yes, Ian. Wow. Who else needs to leave? But it's living in that prayerful state. At that heart, we pray for the readiness and love of Jesus' return. It's living in light of, Lord, you're coming. You know, Jesus gives an illustration of 10 virgins. And he said, these 10 virgins have these 10 lamps. And, you know, and for lamps to work in those days, they needed oil. Well, 5 of these virgins didn't have oil. They were too busy drinking Budweiser, too busy getting caught up in the cares of life instead of being watchful and prayerful. But when the bridegroom came, and by the way, this is like a totally different study, but it's cool. When the bridegroom came with a shout, he took those virgins away for the marriage feast. The other 5 were left without oil. They were doomed. We got to be watchful and prayerful. Be ready with love. Because Nathan could probably attest to it. What was it like the weeks coming to your marriage? Busy, but that anticipation. I tell you, my wedding day was probably the most coolest day of my life. Spiritually. I mean, it was awesome waiting for my bride to come, to see her for the first time, have that attitude towards the Lord, that love. Oh, Jesus, I want to see you face to face. You created me to know you. Now I want to see you face to face. It's going to be glorious. The second priority is being loving and caring. Let's look at verse 9. Above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Be loving. Jesus said that is how people will know that you're my disciples, is by the love that you have for one another. A love for one another. A genuine, sincere care for one another. Now, let's don't get our hearts mixed up with the Hollywood version of love. That is called lust. There's a huge difference. Lust is self-centered. Love is other-centered. Because I want the best for Ian and Philip and Abe and Nathan and all of you guys. I want God's best for you, not for my own good, but for your own good. Have a fervent love for one another. And notice what this love does. Look at the quality of this love. It covers a multitude of sin. Why do you think? Is it because God so loved us, He gave His only begotten Son, and whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life, that God has forgiven us of our sins? It's a God-quality love. Can you imagine if you love an unbeliever with the same love that God loves you, what that would do to him? It would be like what Nathan said. It would, what did he say? It would catch the eye. That's how he said it. It would catch the eye. And Nathan gave an awesome example last week where how God so much transformed his life that his neighbor across the street said, I want a drink of that water that you drink. I want that. And because love covers a multitude of sins, she came to know the Savior and God had forgiven her of all her sins. Talk about love. Let's be loving and caring. God wants to give us grace. He wants to pardon us of our sins. And He wants us to be those ambassadors to bring the gospel to others. That's how I got saved. My best friend shared the gospel with me. And boom, God made the transaction. The second thing is being caring, hospitable. That's what it means. It's to be caring, to be welcoming, to be generous. When you invite your friends to your house, you know, what do? You gotta tell them, shut up and leave me alone. No, you go, hey, you want a Coke? You want something to drink? Hey, man, my mom just bought some snacks. You want some? Hey, let's bake some cookies. You know, what's that? Yeah. We'll get you an easy bake oven. And so, we be hospitable to one another. Time is near. Let's be loving because you know what? We're going to heaven. You know, Jesus is the most hospitable person who ever lived the earth. What did he do to his disciples? Do you remember the Last Supper? What did he do? He washed their feet. He fed them a meal. How does heaven begin? It begins with a meal. You know, I got a theory. I think Jesus was a little chubby. He was always eating. He was called a glutton. You know, skinny guys aren't called gluttons. Fat guys are. I like that. Yeah. 6,000 calories a day? When you get older, I hope you stop. Because you're going to look like me. But be hospitable. And see, due to our self-centeredness, we don't always like being hospitable, right? Sometimes, it's too much of a bother. It's not convenient. And so, but we do that because Jesus says, whatever you do to the least of these, you do to me. You do to him. Now that should put a new perspective on your view of worship. Oh, I love God. I sing the songs. You jerk. Excuse me? Jesus says the way you treat the least of those is how you treat him. Be hospitable. Be caring. Do it without grumbling. Serving Jesus is a privilege. Why? Because aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't serve you with a grumbling heart? Oh, it's morning. I got to wake up Ian. I don't want to wake him up. That kid, he's always getting into trouble. Aren't you glad he doesn't do that to you? You know, he probably, Ian, wake up. You know. Come. I do that to people. And so he serves us with joy and love. And finally, the third privilege is be giving, encouraging, and worshiping. Let's look at verse 10. Verse 10. As each one of you received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, in that all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. First of all, he says, to be giving. Be giving. Jesus said, for even the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to give. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom. They're going to the children's ministry. They're serving. They're giving. They're using the gifts that God has given them to according to the ability. That's awesome. That's a good example. And so be giving. Jesus came to give. Does he expect his disciples to do any less? Of course not. We are to give to faithfully build the body of Christ. I hope you get to the maturity one day where somebody asks you, why do you go to church? And you give your reason. I hope it comes to the point where it says, I go to church because I want to build the body of Christ. I want to see others built up through my life and through the lives of others. That's why we go to church. We're a family. And you know what? Our family goes beyond these walls, this campus. It's all over. The second thing he tells us is to be encouraging. He says, encourage us to speak the oracles of God. Speak as the oracles. Is that serious? Speak as the oracles of God? Be God's mouthpiece? You know, our hearts are open containers. Our hearts are open containers that need to be filled with something. They long to be filled with something. They could be filled with junk, or they could be filled with holy things. And see, those containers that are filled, our minds are going to dwell upon, and out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth will speak. So let's say your mouth is, or your heart, that container is filled with garbage. What's going to spill out? Garbage. If it's filled with holiness, the Word of God, understanding of God, what's going to spill out? The oracles of God. That is why it's so important. The Bible reminds us to be careful about the things that we think upon. Be careful about the things that we dwell upon, because that's what's going to come out. And so the other thing is be worshiping. Notice it says to glorify God, that in all things that you may be glorified. Our giving and our encouraging is for one reason. The whole reason you were created was to glorify God. You were created for His purpose, His glory. You think, man, I don't know, my life has no purpose. Oh, it has a whole lot of purpose. It's to glorify God. And that is what we're supposed to do. I want to finish up with some application here. Let's look at some application. Well, first of all, let's remember we live our lives in view that the end is near. The end is near. This is our perspective and our motivation to live. We live watching for our Savior's return. Jesus is coming. We live in communion of prayer with God awaiting His return. And we live life as giving, encouraging, worshiping believers, looking for His appearing with great anticipation and love. So the first application is prioritize our life with the hope of His return. Prioritize your life with the hope of His return. Secondly, prioritize our life with prayer, communion with God. If you're going to spend eternity with God, certainly we can live in the awareness of God on earth, right? On earth as it is in heaven, Jesus taught us to pray. And finally, prioritize our life with the love of Christ. Love others as Christ loved you. Love others. And I think in doing these priorities in the view of the end times, I think our life will be filled with joy, with purpose, and endurance. Because we may face tribulation. We may face persecution. But if we have our priorities right, we will stand fast and we will glorify our Lord. And, you know, God willing, we will bring others along with us to heaven. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, You did it all for us. You bought us with Your blood. You have given us eternal life. And I pray, Lord, that we would take this gift and that we would value it, that we would see it as precious, that we would see it as something that nobody can take from us. I pray, God, You would examine every heart in this room. There may be some, Lord, that are not in the faith. And if that is you, I ask you to raise your hand now. If you want to go to heaven, you're not sure, just raise your hand and we'll pray. Well, God, it looks like everybody's in is yours. But you know each of our hearts. Continue to do Your good work. Lord, help me to see life in view of the end times. Help us to glorify Your name in these last days, that we may bring joy to Your heart and that we would be very fruitful with our lives. And we ask these things and we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, God bless you guys.